This chazor is echnish b'chesu shagam of Yehudim sech the side of daf mem vav. Zok the Mishnah, after measuring the distance to the cities, the Sanhedrin would leave. The elders of the closest city would bring a female calf that have never pulled a yoke. A mum would not be a problem for Egla Rufa. They take the calf to the Eson Valley, which means a rocky valley. Even if the valley they go to is not rocky, it's still valid. They then decapitate the calf with a cleaver from the back of its neck. The place where this takes place is forever usur to plant or work the land. The place is mutter to use for combing flax and for chiseling stones. The elders would then wash their hands over the area and say, Yodeinu lo shafkus adam azeh. Now, would anyone even think that the elders committed this murder? Rather, what they mean to say is that this murdered person did not come to us and leave without us having given him food, and we did not see him and let him leave without escorting him. The Kohanim then say, "Kapali amcha Yisrael asher padisa Hashem v'al titein dam noki bekerav amcha Yisrael." They did not have to say the next part of the pasuk that says the. Because those are the words of the Ruach HaKodesh, which says that whenever this procedure is performed, there is a kapara for the murder. In fact, we should learn from a kavah chomer that a mum makes an egla rufa possible if paraduma, which doesn't become possible based on age, becomes possible if it has a mum. The egla rufa, which becomes possible after a year old, should surely become possible if it has a mum. And for the Gemara, the possible paraduma says asher ein ba mum, which teaches that only the paraduma becomes possible from a mum, not the egla rufa. Based on this, we should not learn out from an egla rufa that a paraduma could not have been used for work besides a yoke, which is how we tackle learning out the halacha by paraduma, based from Egla Rufa, because we should say that the pasuk by Egla Rufa says Asher Loi Ubad Ba, which should similarly teach that it's only problematic for Egla Rufa, not for the paraduma. Mar says it's learned from Gzeira Shava on the word oil from Egla Arufa. If we have Gzeira Shava, why can we use it to teach that Egla Rufa is possible if it has a mum, just like Paraduma? Mar says we can't learn that because the word Ba teaches to exclude learning that from Paraduma. Why don't we say that the Ba written by Egla Rufa also excludes Paraduma from being usher to do other forms of work? Mar says that word Ba is needed to exclude other Karbonis, that they don't become possible from having done work to them. We would think to make a Kavah Chaimer and say if Karbonis become usher from a mum and an Egla Rufa does not, then surely the other Karbonis become usher from doing work to it since an Egla Rufa does. We can refute this Kavah Chaimer by saying that Egla Rufa is usher to do work because it becomes possible when it's over a year old, but other kabbalists don't become possible from age, which should not have this psul of having work done with them. Mar says some kabbalists do have age restrictions, and it's for those kabbalists that we need the pasuk to teach that they do not become possible from having work done with them. Talking about the halacha that work is not problematic for a carbon is not learned from the word ba. A bryce says learned from the word eila written in the pasuk that lists the type of woman. Mar says if we only had eila, we would say that work doesn't make that work that wasn't an avera doesn't make it possible. But work that was an avera, for example, working on Shabbos or through client, maybe it does make a puzzle. The word ba teaches that even work of an avera does not make the animal puzzle. Another bryce says the word ela and another pasuk teaches that an animal that was worked is kosher for a carbon. If so, we have two sources already and we shouldn't need the word ba to teach anything else. Mar says we would think that it's only kosher if the work was done to it while it was still chulin. However, if it was worked after becoming kadosh, we would say it becomes puzzle. That's why we need the word ba to teach that even then it remains valid. Rabbi Yehuda Nehemi Rav said if a bundle is simply placed onto a cow, it becomes puzzle to be used for a paraduma. However, with regard to Egla Rufa, it would only become puzzle if it schleps the bundle somewhat. Abraisa says the only way we know that a paraduma is usser, if it does other work than carrying a yoke, is from Egla Rufa, either via Kavachim or via Gzei Shavit. So if Egla Rufa doesn't become usher unless it just schleps the bundle, the paraduma should also not become usher until it schleps the bundle. Mar says, actually, Machalik is telling whether the psul of other work for a paraduma is like a learn from Egla Rufa, or whether it's learned from the pasha of paraduma itself. We actually find the brisa that says that it's learned from the psukim of paraduma itself, and according to that, that's why it has its own halachas. Rabbi Vo asked Rabbi Yechanan, how far does the Egla Rufa have to pull the yoke for the Egla Rufa to become puzzle? He answered, for a distance the size of a yoke. In fact, does he mean the length or the width of the yoke? Rabbi Yaakov said, it was explained to me that it's the width of the yoke, which is a tefach. So why doesn't he just simply say a tefach? But instead he's teaching that the width of a yoke is a tefach. This teaches for commercial purposes that a yoke has to be that size. Yechim and Shol said, the reason the Egla Rufa process must be done in a rocky valley is that Hashem said, let the calf, which has produced no offspring, come and be decapitated in a place that has produced no fruit, to bring a kapara for the murder of one who can no longer produce offspring. What's meant by the saying that the murder victim cannot produce offspring? Does that mean that if he was an old man, we don't do the Egla Rufa process because this old man can't produce offspring anyway? Or it means that he can no longer do mitzvahs. Mishnah said, "Umayrid noisel nachal esam v'chulah." Brayis says we learn this from the pesukim that esam means a hard, rocky land. Mishnah said, "Ve'orfen noisel bekoyfitz me'achay reha." We learn that it must be done from the back of the neck via gzeir shava on the word arifa from the chatas bird. Mishnah said, "Umekoyma aser milizroya umilameva." umileyoved. So Abraisa says, the Pasuk says that the place for the Egla Arufa process should be a valley in which no work be done, nor can it be planted. Rabbi Yoshia says, this means that no work was done there in the past. Rabbi Yonis says, it means that no work may be done there in the future. Rabbi said, everyone agreed that no work may be done in the future. So Machalikas is whether there could have been work done there in the past or not. The Mishnah said, umutar lisreik sham pishton. Abraisa, the Pasuk says, asher lo ye'oved boy lo yizareya. We would think that only planting there is also. The words of lo ye'oved boy teaches that other forms of work are also also. If so, what does lo yizareya teach? It teaches that just as planting is done to the land itself, so too the other type of work that's also has to be done, work done to the land itself. It comes to permit combing of flax and chiseling of stone there. Why don't we say that the Pasuk is a klal uprat, in which case only planting should be also and nothing else? Mara said the word asher is a riboy and comes to include other work as being also as well. Misha says, zikne ho'ir roich in Yudehem the Chulu. Abraisa says, the Pasuk says that the elders of the closest city must come and wash their hands over the Egla Arufa in the valley. The Pasuk could have just said over the calf, but it added the word Ha'arufa to teach that it must be done at the site of the decapitation. The elders say that they did not commit or see the murder. Now, no one would suspect them of having done so. Their statement means that they did not see the victim and send him away without food or without escorting him out. Abraisa says, or many would say, we force a person to escort his friend when he is leaving because the reward for doing so has no limits. We find this in Sukkim where a person showed the Yidden the entrance to Beis El, which the Yidden then used to conquer the city, and this person was rewarded by not being killed, by not having him or his descendants subject to Chayv Nebuchadnezzar or even the Malach HaMavis. Now, if this person who merely pointed out the entrance, Chizkiah says he did so mouthing the entrance where the entrance was, the Be'erchin said he actually pointed. But in any case, his reward was so great. So Kal V'Chaymer, how great the reward would be for someone who actually escorts another person out by walking him out. Rishu Malevi said if someone is traveling and has no one to escort him, he should learn Torah, and that will act as his escort. He said, "In the merit of the four steps that Pari took to escort Avram, that's what allowed him to enslave the Eden for 400 years." Yehuda, in the name of Rav, said, "If one escorts his friend for even four amos in the city, it ensures that his friend will not be harmed on his travel." Ravina escorted Rav by Yitzchak for four amos, and Rav by Yitzchak came into a dangerous situation in his travels and was saved because of the escort. Abraisa says, "The distance that one must escort is as follows: a Rebbe must escort his Talmud until the end of the extension of the city. A friend must escort his friend until the Chum Shabbos, and a Talmud's obligation to escort a Rebbe has no limit." Sheshes explains that no limit means up to a parsa. The Gemara says it's only true if it's not as Rebbe Muvik. For Rebbe Muvik, he has to escort him up to three parsois. Rav Kahana escorted Rav Simon Bar Ashi to a place of palm trees in Bavel and asked him, "Is it true that these trees exist from the times of the Marishan?" Rav Simon Bar Ashi responded with a statement that he had learned that any land that other Marishan said should be settled was settled, and any land that he did not say should be settled was not settled. We find that Reb Mardchai escorted Rav Ashi for a very long distance. Rav Yechon and Rav Meir said, "Someone who doesn't escort or doesn't allow others to escort him is as if he committed murder." We can learn this from Elisha, who was not escorted by the people of Yericho, and because he was alone, these young boys started up with him, and he cursed them and caused their deaths through that whole Maisa. Rabbi Lazar said, "Young means that they were empty of mitzvahs and had little amuna." The Pasuk says that Elisha turned around and saw them and cursed them. What did he see? Rav said he simply looked at them for the purpose of punishing them. Shmuel says that he saw that each of these boys was conceived on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yisrael Nafka says that he saw that each had haircuts like the Goyim. Rabbi Yechanan said he saw that they had no mitzvahs at all, which Rabbi Lazar explains to mean that they had no future generations of theirs which would have any mitzvahs either. The Pasuk says that two beers came out of the forest and tore apart 42 children. Rav and Shmuel argue. One says it was a miracle because the beers did not exist until this time. The other says it was a double miracle because even the forest did not exist until that time. Why was there a need to create a forest for this purpose? Mar says if the bears had nowhere to hide after their attacks, they would have been afraid to attack in the first place. Chanina said that the result of Balak offering 42 kabanas to Hashem in the hope that he would curse the Yidden was why that these 42 children were killed. How can we say that this is that his reward, having these 42 children killed? Rabbi Yehuda, name of Rav, said that his reward for the kabanas was that Rus came from him. Mar says his intent was to destroy the Yidden. So the efforts of bringing his kabanas resulted in the death of Yidden.